morning, everyone. I'm Carolyn Yeager, bringing you the Revisionist Report on this Thursday, July 14th. Today is French Bastille Day. What a terrible occasion the French Revolution is for the French to celebrate as the beginning of their modern state in 1789. It's as bad as what the Israelis celebrate as their Independence Day. Although the French were killing each other, not a different but related people, as were the Hebrews. Well, you might want to look up Bastille Day and refresh your memory about it sometime today, but this morning we're going to talk about another killing field. It's commonly called that by some, and that is Western Russia during the Wehrmacht advance in 1941 and 42. On Tuesday, Wilf Heinck told us in 1945, returning German soldiers were mainly complaining of two problems they had endured. One, the poor hygiene, meaning mainly lice infestation, and two, partisans. Partisans camouflaged among the regular population did so much damage that there was a specific Hitler order pertaining to them, which later the wording about the partisans was dropped from that order by our so-called historians. Why? Well, Wilf said that rather quickly, the partisan component of the German-Soviet fighting was downplayed and then all but disappeared in favor of the Holocaust story portraying the German special units out to kill Jews because they were Jews, as part of an annihilation program, not because they were actively fighting and sabotaging the Germans. Now, at the end of the program Tuesday, Wilf was saying that by the spring of 1942, the partisans controlled, under the command of a Red Army general, 200,000 square kilometers, an area the size of England and Scotland combined. Hello, Wilf. Are you there with me? I want to call you Wilf sometimes.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Just call... That's not really anything bad.
No, that's good, Wolf. Well, there's lots of wolves.
Yes.
That's a popular name in Germany, sort of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Wolfgang, yes, and they shorten it to Wolf, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'm here. Okay.
All right. Well, I just said where you left off. On Tuesday, we're glad to have you back, very glad. And so you just take over, because I know we always run out of time too quickly.
Yes, we do. And I would like to just go back to the one point I made towards the end of last show, and this is the fact that the partisans in the spring of 1942, 30th of May 1942, came under the command of the Red Army. A general from the Red Army was appointed leader of the partisans, if you will. His name was General Ponomarenko. And the Soviet political establishment accepted the partisans as a part of their fighting force, along with the army itself, the air force, and the navy. They were trained They were trained by the Red Army personnel, by professional soldiers. They had special schools, training schools, and within a few months, they had 3,000 partisan leaders trained that then were sent behind the German lines to operate and to direct the operations of the partisans.
Wow, that is fantastic. Okay, we'll come back and continue in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Stick with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and Wilf Heinck is my guest. His website is Inconvenient History Revisionist Blog. We're learning some astonishing facts about the professional standing, or the military standing, of the so-called partisans fighting with the Soviets. So continue, Wilf, please, to give us the information you've got.
Okay. Yeah, to carry on with this, now, to make illegal fighting forces part of the regular armed forces of a country has to be a breach of international law. The Germans were accused at Nuremberg at the IMT of violating international law. This was in every other sentence that came up by the prosecution. Now this, what I said, this has to be to conclude the partisans. They were supported by the Red Army. They were supplied by the Red Army. They were given weapons and training. This had to be a breach because Article 1 of the Hague Charter states regarding armed fighting forces, the laws, rights, and duties of war apply not only to armies, but also to militia and volunteer corps fulfilling the following conditions. Now, the following, to be considered a legal fighting force, you have to the following conditions have to be followed. One, to be commanded by a person responsible for his subordinates. Two, to have a fixed, distinctive emblem recognizable at a distance. Three, to carry arms openly, and four, to conduct their operations in accordance with the laws and customs of war. Now, partisans, by design, do exactly the opposite. They hide in bushes, as I had made clear with their own printing, their own propaganda. They admit to it. They employ children and women and do all things illegal. But this was never... At Nuremberg, this was never allowed to be made known, and there were some subsequent trials. And I think I mentioned that in the last show, Dr. Aschenauer who was a defense attorney for some of the accused, complained bitterly that the partisans, the root of the problem, were never allowed to be mentioned. Dr. von Knierim, and I mentioned him the last time too, and I need to say a little bit about him. He's a lawyer, a member of the board of governors of the of IG Farben, which was a huge German conglomerate.
Just for the listeners, IG Farben is the way.
IG Farben. It was dismantled after the war because they were accused of helping the German war effort. Of course they did. I mean, so do all the American manufacturers of arms. Anyway, they were accused, the directors were accused, and he was on trial in Nuremberg. They were acquitted. So he writes his book that he wrote. It's simply called Nuremberg in English translation. He wrote it from the standpoint of a legal standpoint. He leaves out any kind of moral considerations because morality should not have anything to do with the law. When a case is brought to court, the issue should be whether a law was violated or not and whether laws apply, whether there are laws in force that apply to this. That's the only issue. Not morality should not enter it. And he writes, his book is from that view. But this is why it is so valuable, because he doesn't try to defend anybody or to excuse anything. When the German defense brought up the principle of tu quoc, that it is called, it's Latin, and it means you too, in plain English. When they brought this up, they were told no, but he explains that reprisal. And that's what these actions by the German Einsatzgruppen, where they were reprisals, means that the violation of international law is justified as a counteraction to another. So even if these Einsatzgruppen burned some houses down and so on, it is allowed because the other side had violated international law before that. And he says the difference lies in the fact, the difference between military necessity and this tu quoc. The difference lies in the fact that a reprisal responds to a violation of international law by another. When that was raised at the Nuremberg trial, the court's answer was, we are not trying whether any other powers have committed breaches of international law or crimes against humanity or war crimes. We are trying whether these defendants have. Now, I don't think I need to add anything more to it. I mean, can you say kangaroo court?
Well, I mean, you know, we do need to make sure that listeners understand what's being done here, what's being said, in that these rules, we're saying, we've made rules, they apply to these defendants, they don't apply to us.
Exactly.
None of this has, we're not going to look at us and anything that we've done. We're going to look at what they've done. And then, not only that, they're not applying the law. They're saying that they conducted that according to international law. Or did they? They're military tribunals. The whole thing is confusing. They really didn't they really didn't follow any kind of proper rules under any kind of law, did they?
They did not. And von Knierim makes that quite clear. They wrote their own laws. See, to just briefly, international law, and he makes that also clear, there is no such thing as international law. What it is a series of agreements between nations. If they are violated, so be it. This isn't a law as such, because a law is not just there to punish, but it is also in place to protect those innocents. Now, when you say a soldier violated international law, and why did he do it? And when he says, I followed orders, the judges said, well, you violated international law? What was the soldier supposed to do? Go to his commanding officer and say, sir, this is against international law, and here comes a knight on a white horse from the international law corps and defends him. This is all the reality. I mean, there is
Well, not only that, Will, but isn't it true that international law, the whole concept, was invented by some Jews? I did a program talking about some of that ways back. And I can't think of the name of them right offhand now, but some very well-known Jews, they were always delving into international law, and they kind of invented international law.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And now it's a concept, but you just said that there really is no such thing as international law. There's just agreements based on treaties.
That's what it is. Because at Nuremberg, at the IMT, the London Agreement, which that was based on, and it was called then CCL number 10 and other, they had other definitions for it. But it was an agreement among the victors to write new law. And this is made clear by a lot of scholars, even some of the scholars, legal scholars that attended these IMT, these proceedings, admitted that we are on very shaky ground here, and we should not pretend that we are sure that this is so, because it isn't written anywhere. Still, they continue.
Are we kind of dealing in smoke and mirrors again here, somewhat, when we talk about international law?
We are. We are. Okay. Because, because this is, this, you know, these laws, that what was written by the victors was only to convict the Germans. It had absolute, and the law has to be applicable to all parties. This never was. This was always just to punish the Germans. Okay. Yeah. Let's get back to our topic at hand here. The Stalin I've mentioned that already, July the 3rd, he had his radio address where he told people in the rear to destroy everything. And they did. He followed up with that on November, 17th of November 1941, with a Stalin order number 0428. It is called, in German, Fackelmännerbefehl, which is a torchbearer's order, roughly translated. And I try as I might, I haven't found an English translation of it. This, he orders, the supreme commander, Stalin, orders his troops to up to 40 to 60 kilometers behind the lines of fighting to destroy everything. Destroy any building, anything, just destroy it. And he allegedly, and this is the touchy point of this, he allegedly also said that some of these units that carried out these orders, these partisans, were to wear German uniforms.
Okay, we're going to come to our break very shortly, so be ready for it.
This could not be confirmed, and I doubt whether Stalin, I'm sure that order was given, but I don't think he wrote it down. I don't think anybody is stupid enough to do that, because that would have been a real break of law, of international law.
Very interesting. All right, well, that was really good. We will be back in 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, for more.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers, and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit TerraVim.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, I'm back with Wilf Heinck. And Wilf, you were just telling us about this Stalin order that you say was probably not ever written down.
It was the order itself about the destruction of property and so on behind the lines. That was written down. This is a fact. They found it in the Moscow archives. The part about these units, some of them wearing German uniforms, has not been found. Whether it has been deleted or not, I have no idea, but I doubt that Stalin would have written that down.
Yes.
You know. But Professor Seidler, in his book, Die Wehrmacht im Partisanenkrieg, the German forces fighting partisans, writes, more and more partisans are wearing German uniforms. The Germans that were killed, and a lot of the German soldiers that were attacked and killed by partisans, were mutilated. And their uniforms, almost all the time, they were found naked. The uniforms were taken off, and I'm continuing here from Seidler. Also, there was the Einsatzgruppen, and I'll get to them right away here, they hired locals to help them ferret out partisans and so on. Some of them were dressed in uniform, and German uniforms. And Seidler writes that more of them deserted, taking the uniform with them, and
they went over to the German side in their German uniform.
No, they went over to the Russian side, to the partisan side, in their German, wearing their German uniforms, and I'm sure the partisans made use of them. Using them to attack villages, making it appear that Germans have did the attacking.
Well, sure, yeah, that's right. We know that happened.
Anyway, how
terrible for the Germans to be facing this this enemy wearing German uniforms.
Exactly.
In some cases, and how many Do you have any numbers that you can give us now about the number of Germans who were captured by these partisans and their stripped naked and then mutilated?
No, I don't. But they are in the thousands. I would have to find it.
So you could have whole little groups of fighters, like 6 or 7 of them together in German uniforms and appear to be, some part of your own unit.
Yes. Yes, and the Germans didn't know whether to shoot or not until sometimes it was too late. And this was a dilemma. And also, you see, what it did is it terrorized the populace. And the population at first, at the very first, in a majority of cases, welcomed the Germans as liberators because the Russian regime was brutal. Mm-hmm. But by doing this, By these illegal attacks, by burning the houses down and so on and so forth, the population finally turned against the Germans and did help the partisans. The situation got worse and worse as the partisan gained in strength, and they did gain in strength.
But how do you explain what the Germans were doing? They were doing it because of the partisan activity against them? That's why they were burning houses and things.
The Germans, whether the Germans burned, yeah, they did. Well, you see, and there are maps and so on available from the German archives where supply lines were attacked continually. They were blown up and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
As a consequence, any responsible commander would say, now look, these partisans don't appear out of nowhere. They come out from somewhere. They're getting supplied by some villages. These villages are going to go. And that's the end of it. And they have been told to evacuate. The people were evacuated and the villages burned down. This is a fact. But this is covered under military necessity. This is not a breach of international law. So anyway, the Germans were aware of the partisan problem. As I had mentioned in the first sequence, they had intelligence reports that they were training and so on. So they formed what was called Einsatzgruppen, which they were partisan fighting units, response units. They, four of them, A, B, C, and D, they were numbered or lettered. Each originally roughly 1,000 soldiers, not all of them fighting forces. There were drivers and so on. Only 600 is accepted as actual soldiers. The others were supporting staff. And later, when they realized the extent of the problem, it was increased to 15,000 Germans plus local helpers, as I have mentioned. How reliable they were is open, but still the units increased. They never, ever, ever got a handle on it. I have here a map from the rough area that these partisan attacks occurred. And it is a comparison. There is a comparison map, and this is from the archive in Freiburg, military archive in Freiburg. They show attack.
We're going to a break, right? It's coming up here. So we will continue and discuss the map when we get back for our long segment. So get ready, Will.
Okay.
Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for a long stretch. Wilf Hank is with us, and we're very grateful to be listening to him. So, Wilf, you were telling us about a map.
Yeah, it's a map from the archive in Freiburg. It's the military archive in Freiburg, and I'm not going to dwell on it. It's just a comparison between May 1942 of the area of where most of the attacks occurred, the partisan attacks occurred on rail lines, roads, bridges, and so on and so forth, from May 1942, and the other one is of June 1943, and they have all of these lines drawn in there, the rails and roads and so on. And on the first one, it shows about roughly 100 attacks, tenfold a year later.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And this was in some places.
1,000.
Yeah. In some places, the map says each dot is one attack. And some places, the dots are so close together, there's 20 in one spot, they form a line. So there's repeatedly the same place, up to 20, 30 times. So, I mean, the Germans had to react and had to go to the root of the problem to try and get a handle on it. They never did.
Of course, otherwise you might as well surrender. I mean, if you're going to fight, you fight.
Yes.
I mean, everybody knows that.
Yeah, and if the other side fights illegally, and you can, Carolyn, imagine you have You're together with your comrades for quite a while already, and you're fighting and you're trudging through the mud, and you haven't enough to eat, and this and that, and all of a sudden, these guys go out on a patrol in the evening. Next morning, you find them mutilated, mm-hmm. uniforms gone, and so on and so forth. I would say if I was in that situation, I might react in a way that would kind of violate international law. And I think every normal human being would. I mean,
They're humans.
Hi, yeah, yeah. And this is never taken into consideration. The Germans were held to the highest standard possible, to an impossible standard, when you look at the conditions. And they were condemned because, but as I said before, when the lawyers pointed out, wait a minute, the other side started this, like in this way here, the partisans, and they were told, no, we're not talking about that. Von Knierim writes, according to the testimony of the chief of general staff in the army, the interruption of railway traffic caused by partisans amounted to 1,200 to 1,600 a day. To these were added raids on shelters, vehicles, and small units, acts of sabotage directed against cables, bridges, broadcasting stations, and airfields, acts of violence against the peaceful population. All in all, several thousand war crimes per day were committed by the partisans. And Ponomarenko, the leader of the partisans, whom I had mentioned before, stated that in a publication that 500,000 Germans were killed in guerrilla warfare. And before the IMT,
500,000
German soldiers, and that is a rough estimate. This is a rough, because numbers are, it's impossible to have these numbers, because some of them just disappeared. They were never found.
So this would be a minimum.
That's a minimum, absolutely. But that number is disputed. Now these historians are disputing this and saying, no, wait a minute. And they're basing they're basing it on a statement General Jodl made at Nuremberg at the IMT. Jodl said, if a knot is crossed off from that figure, it is still quite a considerable achievement for a peaceful Soviet population. He did not say to cross a knot off and a zero off. He said, if, and I read the German original, he said, auch wenn, which even goes further, means even if mm-hmm. a zero is crossed off.
But even if, yeah, that does make a difference from just if, even.
Absolutely.
Right, so now they want to say that that he said that.
They're now saying, well, Jodl said, nah, it was only 50,000. He didn't. But the most important part about this statement, Carolyn, is he did not even, the number, when you read this, and in the original it is better, when you read this, this refers to this peaceful Soviet Union, the population of the peaceful Soviet Union, because in these reports submitted at Nuremberg by the Russian, they want me to call it, say Soviets, but they were Russians, by the Russian prosecution, they kept referring to the fascist invaders and the fascist criminals killed so and so many peaceful Soviet citizens.
Yeah,
and this
you're
is
right.
Why,
and that is the only that. They can repeat things thousands of times, can't they?
Yeah,
and this has certainly been, this is the phrase that we always hear. It's the fascist killers, the German killers, the Nazi killers who mm-hmm. invaded and did all this damage to these peaceful Soviet citizens, right?
Yes, and that's
well,
what...
Well, you might be able to say that they were peaceful before the invasion, but even then they weren't because they were being trained and prepared.
They were trained and being prepared, and really, this is what this statement by Jodl, what he refers to is that this is quite an accomplishment. Never mind the number. This is quite an accomplishment for this so-called peaceful Soviet citizenry or whatever, because they were not peaceful at all. We have we have numbers again. Zeidler tells us that in January 1944, the Germans estimated that 266,000 partisans were fighting against the German forces. I have a map. Again, we have to go back here to a little bit. In East Germany, the Holocaust never played a role, but the partisan, the brave partisans, were front and center for at least 10 years after the war. And I have a map which shows the activities, a map from East German publication, the areas of operation that the partisans either controlled, and I said that in the last one, they controlled huge areas, and they also give numbers. They say, in that map, it says that in the Soviet Union alone, up to 2 million partisans were fighting. The Germans estimated it at 266. They themselves said up to two. They have a total here, and it, because the Germans were not fighting just partisans in the Soviet Union. There was Yugoslavia, Serbia, Greece. They, even on the Western Front, they were fighting saboteurs. So what they're saying here, altogether, over 4 million illegals were fighting German forces. That number one has to take with a grain of salt, because they were bragging about partisan activity, so I'm sure they overblown the numbers somewhat. But, you know, there was no muster station for partisans where the numbers were counted, so it's impossible almost to determine how many really were fighting. And that the
that's why when you say that they never got control of it, that those little Einsatzgruppen forces were not able at all to deal with such a huge problem as this.
Well, exactly. There were 15,000 Germans at the end trying, and an area is, I think, four times the size of Texas, something like that. It was an huge area, and you place 15,000 Germans in an area like that, they get lost in there, never mind doing any efficient fighting.
Right. People really need to understand this particular issue. Wilf, we've got a couple of callers, but you let me know when you're ready to take a call, because you might have some more information you want to...
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I just wanted to say a little bit about that it started right early. The first report was issued from the 9th to 21st October 1941, and we have to remember the German forces entered on the 22nd of June. And it says in this report that up to then, 467 bridges, railroad bridges, were destroyed, and 250 rail lines blown up. And that was only the first time. As I said before, Knieri writes that later on, up to 1,600 a day were blown up when they got really organized. So the numbers are staggering. The damage.
Now, let's make it clear, even for me here. Now, you're talking about this is partisans blowing this stuff up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, this is not Germans.
No. That's what this is.
Blowing up against the Russians. Okay.
Yeah.
This really is bigger than I realized. I did not know this.
And, you know, I can't. I was trying to condense it as much, because this is a huge, huge subject, and you can't do it justice with just a few numbers here and there. So maybe, you know, German losses we covered a little bit. And if you want to take the caller, sure, go ahead.
Okay, well let's answer Werner from New Brunswick. Hi, Werner.
Yeah, good morning. I just turned in late on. But in regard to the partisans, years ago, I got some information, and it fitted right in. I used to listen to George Vandeman from the 7 Days Adventist on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And one Sunday morning, he was talking and praising the valiant man of Crete.
Mm-hmm.
But I got some information from somebody who had looked into that. And basically, what it was, the valiant men of Crete, those who are partisans. And there had been a battle the day earlier between the German army and the British army. And the battlefield was thrown, full of dead soldiers. And this one fella, he was severely wounded, and he was laying underneath another dead comrade. And he saw the men from the village coming out and then going from one soldier, from one dead soldier to another, and gouging out the eyeballs with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this guy, he was laying underneath another dead comrade, so maybe they missed him, you know. But then the next day, or a couple of days later, fortune in the battle turned, and German forces, they occupied again the area. And when they saw what had been done to the dead comrade, you know, they went down in the village, and they rounded up what they perceived to be the perpetrators and executed them.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, in North America, they were being depicted as a valiant man of Crete.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
As I say, there was so much spin being put on. I'm not talking and calling up because I want to condone what happened in the Second World War.
No.
Because over the centuries, Germans, when the areas that were overpopulated, they peacefully immigrated, you know, into the East and all over the world, you know. And unless the countries that are sparsely populated, unless they open up some of their regions up for peaceful immigration, sooner or later, you know, the pressure in the overpopulated areas ultimately will lead to wars. And I prefer peaceful immigration to forceful occupation.
Yes. This is good.
Hitler, he made a mistake, and I wished it never would have happened that way. Because before, you know, the German people that immigrated in other parts of the globe, you know, they had a lot better reputation than those members of the British Empire.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Werner, when you talk about Hitler made a mistake, Hitler did everything in his power to avoid war. But there were forces against him that wanted war. The object was the destruction of Middle Europe, meaning Germany and Austria-Hungary, and I brought that up weeks ago in one of the segments. So Hitler reacted in a lot of ways. That he had an agenda as well is absolutely true. There's no doubt about it. But he tried to settle things peacefully for as long as he could, but he was up against it. He couldn't. He couldn't.
I really agree with that, because, Werner, when you say that Hitler made a mistake, and I've heard that so often, Hitler made a mistake.
It's like
he had this choice, and so often in these situations he didn't have a choice, but we're not taught that today. You know,
hindsight 2020, and
yes.
Of the nations who sat in judgment, I think they have a lot more skeletons in their historical closet.
Yes.
Than Germany.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for the call, Werner. I really appreciate what you offered there. It's very interesting about Crete. Let's just take Steve real quick. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Carolyn. I'm the great grandson of a peaceful immigrant from Deutschland. The point is, this stuff was going on with Frederick the Great of Prussia. In other words, he said, when you hit a Russian, you got to make sure he goes down. What'll happen? These guys will fake get wounded, or they are wounded. They'll wait for the German skirmish line to pass over it, and then they'll pop up and shoot them in the back. That's mm-hmm. why the Germans had to have a second line behind the skirmish line, spaced out of soldiers. And what they were doing, they were covering the backs of the first line, the skirmish line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were trying to cover the advancing, like, of the fighting forces, and that was actually the job that was supposedly done by the Einsatzgruppen, but they were totally outnumbered. There is no way that they could, and they never made it into any of it. But yeah, that's a valid point you bring up here about the Russians, and that mentality has been talked about by Himmler and others. But of course, this is now all dismissed as racist propaganda and so on and so forth, which it wasn't. These were realities. These people knew what they were talking about.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Steve. That was a good call, too, from Steve. Very helpful.
I just want to finish this numbers game here just a little bit, just to give an indication. In 1943, Ponomarenko gave numbers that was just up to then. 300,000 German soldiers killed.
Well, we're
going to have
to wait for the numbers, it looks like. I think I got my time wrong for this last commercial. Okay, we'll be back after this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
All right, we're back now for our final segment. And, Wilf, you were giving us some figures.
Yeah.
So continue and take it where you want it in the next 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, we don't have much more time left. And I just want to, because I'd like to close this off here and then talk a little bit about the Einsatzgruppen, the way they are perceived tomorrow, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
And the way it is, the way they are judged now. Anyway. In 1943, the leader of the partisans, Ponomarenko, General Ponomarenko, said up to then 300,000 German soldiers had been killed. Among them, 30 generals, 6,000 officers, 3,000 trains were derailed, 3,300 bridges destroyed, 860 depots blown up, ammunition depots.
Yeah.
He later admitted, as I said already, that it totaled 500,000 German soldiers, officers, and police. There was also, besides the Einsatzgruppen, there was a police force, and we need to mention that. And 18,000 trains, and I'm translating this, and I'm a lousy translator because I'm reading it in German. 18,000 trains, military trains, were derailed. 500,000 detonations were done to blow up rail lines. 42,000 trucks blown up, 2,000 trains, 8,000 bridges. All in total, the German military command, the high command, judged the losses of just goods of over 2 million tons on supplies that were destroyed directly by partisans. And that is a huge amount because the Germans were short on everything. Especially later on, German factories were bombarded and supplies were not coming in. The Germans did the best they could. Every tank that was blown up was very hard to find a displacement for. And when they blew up this kind of stuff, Zeidler also writes that it is very little known that the Battle of Stalingrad, the partisans helped to decide that in the Russians' favor because they blew up supply lines. The Germans were waiting for supplies. The partisans blew them up, and the supplies never reached their destination. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these partisans, and they're being dropped now under they've been swept under the carpet. The historians tell us, well, yeah, they were a bit of a nuisance, all right. They will never acknowledge the extent, and as I tried to make clear at Nuremberg, every effort was made to suppress this information, to prevent the German defense from bringing these numbers up and to showing that it was actually cause and effect, and that the other side violated international law to start with by making these partisans part of their legal armed forces. But this,
well,
this,
and then this was done on the Western Front too. This was done in the
West. Sure. Well, sure.
You know,
it was done the same thing.
This was bad, and they were funding them,
yep.
And as Werner pointed out, they make them into heroes.
Yes.
And yes. In international law, they certainly are not heroes. If there is such a thing as international law.
Well, yeah, and as I said, in East Germany, they were celebrated as heroes. They were the best thing.
Yeah. Well, this was a great show, Wilf. We look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Listeners, mm-hmm. come back tomorrow, and we'll continue on this topic. Tomorrow's Friday, that's how we'll end the week. So long for now.
Yeah, so long.
Ever climbing as the dollar